The title this morning is How to Have a Merry Christmas. How to Have a Merry Christmas. You know, I need Matt here anyways because he's got to do the slides. I just forgot about that. Have him come back. I'm sorry. Tell him he can have cake later. Praise God. I just recalled that. Amen. How to Have a Merry Christmas. Not M-E-R-R-Y, but M-A-R-Y. A merry type of Christmas. Because, see, you got to understand something, that Jesus was propelled into society, into our natural realm, through Mary. Amen? It was through Mary that Jesus came. And Mary played an important role in Jesus' life. And you need to understand something this morning, that if it wasn't for Mary, God would have used someone else. But each Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are Christians. How do you know? Because we're Christ-like. Amen. And Christmas, you need to understand, can be a time where we can celebrate the manifestation of impossibilities. You're saying, Pastor, manifestations of impossibility. Think about Mary for a minute. She was a virgin that had a child. That is impossible, but not with God. Amen. Shout with me this morning. All things are possible with God. Take a quick look at the slide real quick. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. There's some things that you may have to jump over. There's maybe some things you have to leap over. There's some things you have to fly over. There might be some things that are in your way that you're going to have to push out of your way. But nothing is impossible with God. When Mary received the news that she was going to conceive a child without a man's involvement, she thought the situation was impossible. But she did something. She decided to believe the Word of God. Think about that for a minute. How many times have you been given a word from God, but you didn't believe it? Telling myself. How many times it was that is so far fetched, that's crazy. Think about Mary for a second. You're gonna have this baby and you're not gonna have it naturally through intercourse. Joseph ain't gonna be the father of Jesus. He'll be the stepfather to Jesus, but he ain't Jesus's father. You're going to conceive a baby and you're a virgin and you're going to have... can you imagine that? I would be thinking, huh? What? And how many times do we say that to God? How many times do we say, huh? What, God? You want me to do what? Oh, I must have ate Mexican food last night. That can't be. Shout, Mary made a decision to serve and believe in God. See, this is what happens. Her great faith teaches us some lessons today that God can do the impossible in our lives. Amen? Take a look at this slide real quick. Impossible. It's not in God's dictionary. Learn to take it out of yours. There's nothing He can't do that you will have faith in Him for. Matthew 19:26. Impossible. Take that out of your vocabulary. Well, that's impossible for me to ever graduate college. It would be impossible for me to ever own a house. It would be impossible for me to ever drive a new car. It would be impossible for me to ever be healed from this cancer. It's impossible. Yeah, it is impossible for you, but not for God. And let me just give you a little tidbit. You're God's precious son and daughter. You're just not a he and a she. You're son and daughter. You have royalty. You have connection. You have something that God wants to do in you and through you and for you. Amen? So you and I can relate to Mary when life hits us in the face. We can choose to either believe God or not to believe God. We have a choice in the matter. I can believe Him that everything's going to be okay. Or I can say, well, I don't know if it's going to be okay. I don't know if I can get out of the circumstances I'm in. You probably can't, but God can help you get through it. But you got to believe that the impossible can be possible in your life. What does it have to do with Mary? We're going to read the story a little bit about Mary and how Jesus was conceived. And the reason for the season is Jesus. But it took some orchestrating from God and people to fulfill the plan. And he's looking for people like you and I to listen to what he says, believe what he said, and then go implement what he says. Oh, no. You have a choice in the matter. So take a look at Luke this morning. Take a look at Luke 1, verse 26. Amen. Luke 1, verse 26. In the New Living Translation, it says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of the King David. Let me stop for a second. See how God does things in order? She was a virgin, so she was pure and holy. She could be used of God because she was a vessel that has been untainted and untouched by human hands. Just trying to help you. She was engaged to a man. So she didn't have sex before she was married. Just, you know, just some little things I'm pointing out for you. Just trying to help. To a man who was a descendant of the King of David. So she was in a house of royalty she was going to be marrying into. She was going to marry into something good. Okay? Because God's into doing things in order. And it says that Gabriel, in verse 28, Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Now, if an angel comes to me and says, "Hey, favored Jeff Budzinski," I'm going to go, "Huh? Yeah, cool." I must have got God's attention that the angel would say that, "Greetings, you're a favored man or woman of God." So she must be a Christian who was serving God, and that's the reason why she was still a virgin, not hanging at the clubs in Las Vegas. Come on. Just trying to keep it real for you. I'm just trying to help you. "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." I don't know, if I had the Lord with me, then who could be against me? It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter who's saying stuff about me. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report says about me. It doesn't matter what all this other stuff's happening around this world. When I got the Lord with me, look out. And it says in verse 29, "Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean." Why would you pick me? I said the same thing when I got asked to be a pastor. I said, "There's so many others, Lord, that you can pick. Please don't pick me. I don't want that job. You get picked on and people laugh at you and make fun of you and talk about your family and they want to get to your kids to find out, are you really like that on Sunday as you are the rest of the week? I don't want any of that, Lord. I'm good just being behind the scenes. I'll support financially. I'll go and do some outreach and I'll help out and I'll pray for the sick and I'll go visit a few in the hospital if you want, Lord. But please don't let me be pastor. I want to." But when God speaks, it's like E.F. Hutton. When he speaks, you go, "Huh? Amen." And I love this because the angel said this, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." You have all found favor with God. And favor isn't fair, and that's why people talk about you, and that's why people pick on you, and you get the raise and they don't, and you're jet set and doing the things for God, and you're the tither, and you're the giver, and your financial picture is blessed, and it's more than you ever expected, and people don't understand that because you have God's favor on your life. And it says here, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asked the angel, "But how could this happen?" I mean, hey, I'm in it now. Lord, how are you going to? Come on. You've been there, right? You've asked God some stuff. Lord, why is this going on this way? Or how come this is this way? Or why did my kids do this? Or why did my employer do that? Or why did they just let me go at work? And I've been their best employer because God got something better for you in 2014. I mean, you know, I'm just trying to help you. It's not because you haven't done, you did something wrong. It's sometimes you've done everything right, and people don't like people that are always right. Not that you're always boasting that you're right, but you always do the right thing, and people don't like that because they'd rather have you do the wrong thing and cheat the system. I'm just trying to help you. It says, I am virgin. In other words, I'm pure, Lord. I'm a vessel ready to be used by whatever you want me to do. Haven't been touched by human hands. And it says, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Now, I like this next part. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. Because she shouldn't have kids. She's way beyond her age of having children. I'm going to show the world something that I'm going to do. And it says, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. And people used to say she was barren. See, people talk about you. You've been barren. You haven't had this. You haven't had that. But God's right about to do something. Because the latter days are better than the former days of Job. Amen. Amen. People used to say she was barren. That people used to say that pastor, man, he used to smoke too much dope and he used to drink too much and he hung around the wrong crowd and he did all those things. Yeah, that's what they used to say. Used to. He's gone now. He's dead. There's a new man. But she will conceive a son and is now in her sixth month. And I like this next verse. You might want to say it with me. For nothing is impossible with God. What does it say? For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. I will do whatever the Lord says he wants me to do. I'm not a puppet, but I freely choose to do what he wants me to do. I got a plan, but his plan is better than my plan. And it says, may everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Think about this for a minute. The angel came into Mary's life to tell her some good news. That she was going to conceive and give birth to a son, and his name would be Jesus. Jesus would come and be the intercessor for you and me in our lives. He'd be the counselor. He would give us wise advice so that we don't make the wrong choices and bad decisions. He came as an advocate, a helper, a best friend, but most of all, he came as a savior because we were so jacked up, we needed somebody to save us from our mess. Last week, we learned that he's the gate. He's the way. He came to show us the correct way to get to the Father. Now let's take a second and look at Mary's life. You think about Mary. She was doing things that were decent. She was doing things that were in order. She was going to be married to Joseph. She was a virgin, so she was pure. She was honorable before God. She must have been doing something to get God's attention. She must have been willing to be used as a servant of God. And when you're used as a servant of God, God will take you places you never thought you would ever go. She was pure. She was holy. She was untouched by man. And the thing I like about her, she loved God. She found favor with God. That's what the Bible says. She found favor with God. She was the perfect choice for Jesus' entry point into the world. Why? Because she was still untouched by man. She was pure. Those are some good qualities that we all can have. Amen. We could be pure. We could be holy. We can, you know, hold ourselves and restrain ourselves from doing craziness in our lives. Mary said, I like this. May everything you said about me come true. In other words, she said, I have faith enough that whatever you say, God, you'll make it happen for me. You know, all the promises in the Bible are yes and amen. And a lot of times we say, well, those promises haven't worked for me because maybe your faith level isn't there yet. Maybe your faith level isn't there yet. That's why you don't have all the promises of God. I don't have them all yet either. Some of them I've missed along the way. But I'm still writing to reap them up because it's going to be my season. Mary received the word by what? By faith. Although it was difficult to believe that she could conceive without a man. Now, let me stop there for a second. The world has taken having a man and a woman connecting to have a baby. They've had test tube babies. They've had banks where men can go do what they need to do, and then they have, you know, women that could go and get the seed of a man. And in the beginning, it was right because, you know, men and women couldn't have a baby maybe, and so they had to get a test tube and they could put that into a woman. But then it got diluted when you say, I don't need a man, I'm going to have two women living together. Oh, I'm sorry, am I not allowed to say that at the church? You know, homosexuality and all that kind of stuff, you know. And it was okay, we don't really need a man. We have this test tube and we can both have babies and we don't need a man. But that's not God's best plan. I was just helping out the guy from Duck Dynasty, amen. I ain't getting none of that for that. But see how things can get diluted. There was a right plan. Men and women can have a baby, so they're going to try to have a fertile clinic, and they go in and they try to do the thing, and then the woman gets pregnant. And then they took it and said, well, if it were one woman with a man, well, why do we even need a man? We could just have, you know. And then, you know, then you have all this craziness running around, just trying to help. That wasn't Mary's deal, okay? Think about conceiving a baby without being touched by a man. You think Mary had to sell that to Joseph? Could you imagine? Hey, Joseph, man. Honey, I love you, and I know we're engaged, and we're right about to be married, and I love you, and I honor you, and this angel came, and the Holy Spirit jumped inside of me, and I'm having a baby, and it's not yours. Well, I would have just loved to be there, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask that question, how that all worked out. I bet his first reaction wasn't too good, amen. I can see my wife coming home. Honey, you ain't going to believe this. Yeah, I ain't going to believe this when you come home. But what happens, sometimes the craziness of God makes us not do what God wants us to do. We get in doubt. We get in fear. You got to understand something, that you and I need to develop a legacy of faith by believing that with God, nothing is impossible. God is waiting for people like you and I who will believe that he can do the impossible. Shout, I believe in the impossible. Take a look at Luke 1, verse 37. We already looked at, but look at Luke. This is the Amplified Bible. It says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So when God tells you something, he's already put the power behind it, the wheels in motion. All you got to do is step in it and keep on believing it in faith. In 2014, God showed me, God will prove himself to you that he is the God of the impossibility. Faith in action brings results from heaven. Let me say that again. Faith in action brings results from heaven. And you need to get ready. Think about Mary for a second. That's why we have a Merry Christmas. Mary answered that angel in this reply. May everything you said about me come true. Lord, all those things that you wrote in the book called the Bible, all those things were for me, for you. Lord, let them all come true. Lord, I know you want me blessed because the Bible says so. Lord, you said you want me healthy. May everything you said about me come true. To receive God's word means you need to take possession of it. When God gives you the word, you just don't say, well, that's another word. See, I've followed people for a long time, and I watch people go from church service to church service to church service. So-and-so is going to be in town. I'm going to get a word from him. I'm going to go over to this guy's church because so-and-so is going to be over there, and T.D. Jakes is going to give me the word. And I'm going to go over to this thing this week because so-and-so's church, Benny Hinn's going to be there, and he's going to give me a word. And I'm going to go over to this church. And they go from church to church to church to church, and they get a word, but they never apply the first word to God. They just keep on getting all these words that are stacked up, but they haven't applied it. They haven't taken possession of it. What you don't confess, you won't possess. What you don't confess, you'll never possess. If you never think you'll have it, you won't. Well, you know, I'll never be a millionaire. Okay, you won't be. I will be. I've set my sights. Millionaire is just not enough money for me. I need to be a billionaire because there's a lot of ministries that need a bunch of money, and I want to be the conduit that he flows through me to bless somebody else. Amen. Mary was a conduit for Jesus to come into the world and to be a blessing to all mankind. We have to accept what God's word says, no matter how it comes or how difficult it may to be to believe. Mary had to face the fact that no one, not even her fiancé, would believe her story. Think about that. Think about that. They're going to give her a whole bunch of guff. Even to the point where Joseph said, hey, I'm just going to kind of take this quietly. And then the angel had to come to him. God will get the attention of whoever he needs to get attention of when you follow him. Don't be in fear. Don't be in doubt. When you step out of the boat with Jesus, he will make sure that he supplies all your needs. And when you're stepping on the water and you're walking out there like Mary did, she knew there was going to be some ramification. So they're going to be speaking about me. My husband, my fiance is going to probably say, kick her to the corner. But God said, don't worry, I'll take care of you. I'll talk to Joseph for you. I'll get his attention somehow. He'll get with the program. Mary's faith demonstrates her ability to trust God despite obstacles. This morning, where's your faith when you have obstacles? Do you just, throw in the towel and say, well, it's for somebody else. And you walk around kind of like Eeyore. I don't know. I lost my tail today. Where am I going to go? I don't know. They said some mean things about me. They told me I'm laid off today, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I know what I'd do. I'd start rejoicing because God got something better for you. Amen? I've had good jobs, but every job gets greater and better that I've had. Because God's into promotion. Amen? We can have faith for the impossible situations that we deal with each day, but you got to believe and trust God. You got to find out what God says about your issue and take possession of it with the word. God gave you a Bible, and in the Bible, he's given you everything you need to combat what you deal with in life. Think about Mary for a second. She had to deal with telling her fiancé that I'm having Jesus, that I got touched by the Holy Spirit, and I'm bringing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into the world. He going to rule, and he going to reign, and he going to be the man. But she didn't know how much pain Jesus would really bring to her when she had to watch him get beaten and scourged and bit nailed to a tree. She didn't see that one coming. But she was still a willing participant. Whatever you want, God. Whatever your will is. Mary was willing to do whatever it took for Jesus to come into the world. Think about it. Here's a girl that you could probably relate to. A real nice Christian girl. Virgin. Nice. Everything's kind of going good for her. Her life's going well, and then Jesus comes. Holy Spirit comes in. The angel of God comes and says, oh, by the way, I'm about to wreck your plans for what you had planned in life. I got something better for you if you're in. But see, God always gives you a free will and a choice in the matter. She could have said no. She could have said, hey, I'm not interested in this. But God would have found somebody. But he found Mary. She's been preparing her whole life up to that point to be married to Joseph. And God says, well, I just got a little change of plans. It's good. If you're like this, you're bringing in Jesus. Because the world's so screwed up, and everything that you're dealing with now, I got someone who's going to come as a savior to fix it all. Think about it. She had to raise Jesus. Now, he wasn't doing miracles, signs, and wonders when he was 2 years old. Okay? He wasn't building chairs when he was five. His ministry started when he was about 30. So she spoke into his life all those years through what she heard from God. And before her, she didn't even really realize she had God in her midst. She really did. She didn't realize all that. But she said that, I'm willing to do whatever you want, God. Bring on all that your word says. See, what she did is she took possession of the word. She says, I'll believe it. This is kind of crazy, but I'm going to believe it. God has already placed within all of you, in your born-again spirits, the ability to do anything. But we have allowed society and people to take those impossibilities and start to limit us to only have possibilities to what you see. God's bigger than what you see, what you can touch, what you can hear, and what you can taste. In order to see impossibilities manifest in our lives, you've got to acknowledge that you are no longer men or women, but you're sons and daughters of the Most High God. When you can position yourself to know that I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God, I'm connected to God Almighty, you just took the lid off of the box that you've been in. God removes that and gives you the impossibilities are now possible. Amen? Take a look at this slide real quick. See that man on top of the mountain? It says our God is a God, what does that say? That turns the impossible into possible. So dream what? The impossible. God wants you on top of the mountaintop. Why? Because people will see you there. And they're going to say, how did you get there? And they're going to follow your life on where you've been and where you're at today. And what steps that you've made that have already been ordered of God. You ever heard that? So a righteous person or man, is steps are ordered of God. You know, well, in order to get to the top, you got to walk in his steps. You got to say, Lord, I'll trust you. I don't believe it and I don't see it yet, but I'm going to do what you say, no matter how crazy it sounds. Because nothing is impossible with God. Jesus came to make the impossible possible. Do you believe that? That's why Jesus came. Jesus came because the world was so tied down, so bogged down with so much religion and religiosity and rules and regulations that people couldn't flow freely in the things of God unless you met a certain statue. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees would sit there and speak down to you. And doesn't it sound like the world today? Doesn't it sound like some ministries that all they want to do is beat you down and tell you you can't? And I'm here to tell you, you can do all things through Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. I'm only here to deliver what he said. I'm like the early FedEx guy. I've just shown up and told you that everything that you have going is good, but God's got some greater things in store for you. And the things that you thought were impossible, God's going to give you those impossible things. Oh, I don't know about you, but when I got my FedEx delivery this week from Jesus, amen, I was excited. So those things, Lord, that I kind of put in the back burner that really, you know, I just kind of waiting on, those impossible things are possible. Oh, okay. All right. It means so when I go shopping for a house to buy this year, I don't have to really worry about the price tag because somehow, some way, you're going to orchestrate something that's going to fit within the budget, or someone's just going to give it to me, or they're just going to bless me because you touched their heart, because they were willing enough and crazy enough to believe that I was the right one, that I came into their lives for a reason. You walked in the store and you got so blessed, and you went to Sephora and they gave you another 25% off. Praise God! There was a coupon that just fell from heaven and into that person who was registering it up. Praise God! I'm trying to help you. Oh, I love this. As we celebrate Christmas with our loved ones, we got to wish people a merry kind of Christmas. We got to let them know that Jesus is in the impossible business. He'll take the impossible and make it possible. I look at my wife and myself and how far we've come. Just to be able to marry her, that wasn't an impossibility, but God made it a possibility. Amen? There she was. 22 years ago, I see her. Across that floor, I'm like, I haven't got a chance snowballing, you know where, to end up going out with that young lady. But God... That's before I knew him. I said, oh, God, I'd just like to meet her and see how God worked things out. You're laughing, but it's true. Then I was sick, and I was concerned and worried. I was always sick. And when you date people and you're sick, they go, I don't want that dying man. As handsome as I was, laying in a bed, tied to machines, I didn't look that handsome. But there was something... In me, she's seen some impossibilities that she was going to help me make possible, praise God. That she would go every day, even after work, and come and visit me at a hospital when I was sick and dying. Why? Because she made things that were impossible possible. Lifted my spirits, encouraged me. God's in the business of making impossible possible. It may look impossible for you today, but look through the eyes of Mary. It looked impossible for her, but look what God did. It ain't about you. It's about him working through you so other people could say, what the heck just happened over there? Healing, financial breakthrough, health, increases, new jobs, new business, affordable health care, owning your own home, debts being canceled, new cars, items purchased with cash and not debt, family members getting saved, open doors for you to minister. Those things are all possible through God. But man, we feel right now, man, it's impossible. You don't know my circumstance. You don't know my situation. I got two nickels left in my pocket. That's all I got. They just told me they're laying me off at work, and I don't know what I'm going to do. What I would do is I would rejoice and then praise God for the new job that's coming, the better job. The increase that's coming. Oh, Pastor, that's easy for you. See, you never went without. Yes, I have. Because once you've had it and then you lost it, it's even worse than never having it. Because then you try to do everything within your own power to get it all back. I know, I'm speaking it right. And you try doing it on your own accord, and I can do it. I did it before. The whole time's going, God said, you boy, you're going to go around that mountain a second time, aren't you? Why don't you just try Jesus? See how it works for a little bit. Just give of your time and your talent and your effort and your finances. Finances, no, Lord, those are all mine. Yeah, but he's the one who made those available for me to have. And then all of a sudden you start doing what God tells you to do, and it's not always easy. I'm not saying there's not going to be rough roads ahead, but it's sure a lot easier with somebody that's on your side, in your corner, coaching you on. I mean, have you ever been to a boxing match? There's always a trainer and guys that are spurring that fighter on. Amen? You got God on your side. You got the Holy Spirit, and you got Father saying, come on, son. Come on, daughter. You're not no more woman or man. You're sons and daughters. Let me give you an insight. The fight's fixed. Don King was good at fixing the fights. But my Heavenly Father is even better. Because in the book of Revelation, it says, I win. But you can't get to the book of Revelation until you get to the book of Luke, which means Jesus into the world so that I can have a Savior. Look to Jesus this Christmas season. He's your Savior. He's your best friend. You got to wish people a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we celebrate Jesus' birthday. People are going through some real stuff. And I can give them a handout and help them temporarily. I can buy them a meal and fix their problem for 4 hours and their stomach's going to growl again. I can buy them a toy for their kid. Because I have the means to make that happen. Because God blessed me. In through me, out through me, to bless somebody else. But if we don't tell them about Jesus, they'll never get off the bottle. I can only be their resource for a period of time until my resources are done. But if I connect them to the source, come on. Think about Mary. Mary was the source for Jesus when he was born. Think about that. You didn't think about that, did you? When Jesus was born, think about all the things they had to do. They had to move out of the city because there was a warrant on his head before he was even born. They wouldn't even put him in a hospital. He had to go into a manger. And have you ever been in a manger? It's cold and smelly, and the hay itches. You ever been in itches? And you know. So people had to play their part. Mary, Joseph, listening, obeying God. Yes, I'll do what you say, Lord. Yes, I'll do what you say. Oh, I'll go over. I'll go to Bethlehem, and there'll be some wise men that will come and check me out, and they'll be bringing me some frankincense and myrrh. In other words, I'm going to have enough money to get by because God's going to supply my need. He's going to bring people through some source, some way in 2014 to connect you to more of what God wants you to do. Just trying to help you out just prophetically, just for a little bit. And then what happens is, and then Mary had to supply Jesus' need by giving him a milk and feeding him. He was a young kid, and Joseph had to go out and supply a job so that they could have food and shelter, and you know, they had to go do the things of God. They listened to him all along the way, and then there was a point where Jesus said, "Now I'm on my own. I'm on my own accord. Now I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to connect you to my Father in a different way than you've ever been connected." And what Christmas is all about is connecting people to Jesus. It ain't about the Christmas toy. It ain't about the candy cane or the nice cookies that we supplied and the chocolate that's going to fatten you up and give you blemishes on your face. No. It's about Jesus. It's about sharing Jesus at this Christmas time. People are hurting. I know people that just lost their health care for 2014 and they don't know how they're going to supply it for their family. How am I going to do that? I would call on the great physician, Jesus. That's who I would call on. I mean, you can call on your senator and your governor and the president and all those in the position of power that aren't doing too much for us right now. But we'll make sure we vote them all out if they ain't doing a good job. Because that's what we can do as Christians. Amen. See, we need to no longer sit back, but we need to go ahead and speak. No longer we're just going to, well, let's see what else they can push on me. Let's take that prayer out of school. Now we have people getting shot and killed in school. Yeah, you know, it's all right that we take the prayer out of this and that. It's all right. We can have more homosexuality. That's all right. And take the father out of the picture, and then you have, you know, just the mother raising up the family. And that's okay that the mother could do it because God will give her the strength to do it because she's got a Heavenly Father to connect to. So it's not bad, but it's not the perfect picture. It's about time we stand up. Holiday tree. I don't know no holiday. I'll cut your darn holiday tree down. It's a Christmas tree. What's infringing on my rights? Let me close with a thought. Yesterday,
I was at this gun show in South Point. And at 11 o'clock, they had a time where this lady came to sing. And right after that, there was a raffle for a gun or a t-shirt or something, I don't know, whatever it was. And there was a whole bunch of people there. People with necks that were red, people with tattoos, normal people, every walk of life, every ethnicity, every, you know, that you could imagine. And they stopped at 11 o'clock for this lady to sing, what do they sing at the stadium games? Was that the national anthem? And everyone took off their hats, and this lady sang, and there's a flag that was flying. They put up, you know, in the middle of the thing, and people took their hats off, and they honored this lady. She sang so good. The lady looked at her husband. He had goosebumps on him, you know. People were weeping. This is in the middle of a secular event. This happened. People were shouting hallelujah and praise God and God bless America, and you know, and we're taking back our freedoms, and we're going to, you know, you can hear all this going on after. I mean, the place like erupted. It's cool. It was the greatest thing. And I looked at this other guy and I said, there'll probably be an article in the paper and someone's going to want to sue this company that went and had this gun show there, because they talked about God and they cheered on Jesus and the freedoms of America, and some liberal will probably say, hey, you can't do that. But man, I tell you, I shouted and jumped up and down, you know, and then spent some of my money on some of those nice peanuts that they have there, you know, they're flavored and stuff. Great time. Now, how can a secular event that blesses God, bless America, go wild for that? But at church, we don't even get excited about what Jesus has done. Or we leave. Now, I'm talking church, we. We go out and we're not excited about what Jesus has done. I tell people I made the most money I've ever made in my entire life this year. Why? Because I've given the most I've ever given before this year. And I'm just watching that promise end up in my bank account. Going and being a blessing to other people and spending my time helping people and seeing how much more free time I still have. Helping people into a car or putting their big gifts in the car because they can't help it because it's so big. I was at Sam's and people trying to move this thing. You know, get out of my way. Here, let me help you get that in there. And then you go shopping and you get the front row parking spot. Praise God. In the Christmas season. Why? Because I'm like Christ and I should always have the royalty always parks in front. Praise God. Come on. Mary's life reflected that all along the way. She had some tests. She said, I mean, to have her son put to death on a cross, that would be pretty hard. A mother probably just holding her back. But it was God's plan. What she birthed in only lasted 33 years. Mothers can relate. If you had a son and he only lasted 33 years, your heart's hurting. But think what Jesus had to go through. He came to live and to die for you and me. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Because what he's done for all of us. I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for Jesus. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit to touch me, to heal me, to make me whole, to make me complete. Where would you be without Jesus? Your life would be a mess. I know mine was. It was pretty messy. I don't know if you ever have a messy Sunday before, but your life was a lot messier than that. So this morning, when we go out shopping, go be a blessing to somebody. Tell them about Jesus. If you have to get their attention by buying their Starbucks and it costs you $5, think how much it costs Jesus. $5 is nothing. And when they say, hey, why didn't you buy it? I just wanted to share the reason for the season is Jesus, and he loves you. And as I'm blessing you, he will bless you even greater, because I'm just not a son and daughter. I mean, I'm just not a him or a her. I'm a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And he would like you to be part of that same family. Because your life looks like a mess. You didn't tell them that, but I mean, you know, you can tell. They got to know Jesus. Not Santa Claus. I mean, Santa Claus is cool. It's all good. But they have to know Jesus. Because Jesus is far better than Santa Claus. I'd have to call the North Pole and the phone might be busy, but I can call on Jesus 24/7 just by calling his name. And my Savior, my advocate, my counselor, my intercessor, my best friend is going to pick up the phone and send a legion of angels or whatever he needs to do to help me get through whatever I'm going through, just like he did for Mary. And even Gabriel might have to appear and say, hey, my son, daughter, the favored one, you know, that's you. God wants to bless you. I believe that going forward from this day forward into 2014, you have to start really thinking about the things that you've limited yourself in the possibility realm, that God will go and take those impossibilities and make them possible in 2014. But you got to start confessing it now so it carries into the new year, so that when you already got the momentum and traction going, like a big avalanche going down a hill, it's going to flood everything that you hit in 2014. All those things that were impossible, all those naysayers, all those things, because you believed God is coming your way. Those ministries, oh, I'm too old. Really? She was past her barren life, Elizabeth, and she was 6 months pregnant. Impossible for you, yeah. Possible for the man, yeah. But not impossible for God. So when you leave here today, think about things. For people, they're struggling. It's impossible. But for you, it's not because you have the means. You have the ability. You have the smarts. You got Jesus. Go be a blessing to somebody. Blow them away by being kind. By saying a word that God's in your picture. He's going to fix this thing up for you, but you got to know him. You got to know who's driving your bus. He is. I'm just a co-pilot. Wherever he wants to go, I'm willing to go. Amen. So I want you to make sure you have a merry type of Christmas. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, bless your people. Lord, as they go forth this week, Lord God, and they return on Tuesday, Lord God, for our Christmas Eve candlelight service, Lord, that these next days, Lord God, be eye-opening for them. Allow them to, Lord God, discern things that they see, Lord, in their physical eyes, but Lord God, let them discern it in their spirit. To maybe speak love or speak peace or bless or do whatever they need to do for someone, Lord God. Guide their conversations. They don't have to beat them up, but just share the love of Jesus by action. People are moved by action. Jesus, you were moved by action of Mary, by believing and being bold enough to say, I just want what you say I can have. So Lord God, bless us. Move in us. Help us. Let's not get distracted by the hustle and the bustle of the holiday, but Lord God, let us be, Lord God, focused, Lord God, on the things of you. Let us be a blessing to those that we come across, those in our family, those that we haven't picked up a phone and called in 5 years because we were mad at them, Lord God. Let us be the person that breaks that this season. Let there be a shift in the atmosphere, a change in our hearts and Lord God, use us in a way, Lord God, we've never been used before. Lord God, what we thought was impossible, Lord God, break down that mindset to make it possible. Because everything is possible with you. I thank you, and we praise your mighty name. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? You guys ready for the offering this morning? Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Oh, yeah. We've got to give. Okay. Well, I just want to let you know that you can continue to give until the end of the year so you can get it on your statement so that you can show Mr. IRS that you can still have a tax write-off. Amen? So praise God that we still get that. We are a 501c3 so that you can take that nonprofit status and carry that into your new year on your taxes. Amen. And we'll be sending out forms at the end of the year, beginning of the new year, for your taxes as well. So I'm trying to sow as much as I can into it so that that I can have a little bit more benefit going into 2014. Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we give today, Lord, let it be pressed down and shaken together and overflowing in our lives, Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, there's a 30-fold and a 60-fold, but Father God, I'm calling forth and I'm using your word that I want the 100-fold return. I'm claiming it. I'm calling it forth, Lord God, because we got stuff to get done for your kingdom. We got business at hand. The business of taking the impossibilities and making them possible for somebody else. Use us as a vehicle. Use us as a vessel. Use this ministry. Use this church. And use all your people that are here today collectively, Lord God, to make a difference in someone else's life. We ask you, Lord God, to bless it, oversee it, and increase it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. You're all okay? You're all good? You're all going to go shopping? I know, I said the same thing. Don't go shop. Go evangelize. Maybe that's what you're supposed to go do today. Because there'll be a lot of people arguing and fighting. And, you know, when you're in that front row parking spot and you're not getting out of the car. Oh, I'm just kidding. Sitting next to your car. And, hey, how you doing? Hey, Jesus loves you. That looks like a heavy box, isn't it? Yeah. Can I help you carry that to your car? You just don't know by giving up a parking spot that you may get blessed when you go into the restaurant. Dale was sharing that with me. You just don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to do it for you. Why? Because he says you're the favored one. Isn't that what he said to Mary? You're the favored one. Huh? Yeah, and get ready for favorites. It's not fair because people are going to be talking about you. And that's good because then you can share more about Jesus. Amen? Lord, bless them, guide them, and direct them. Let them receive the abundant blessings from heaven. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.